Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the callers. First up is Phil in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. I wanted to get your thought on the type of style of evangelism of Ray Comfort. He has a evangelism study. It's called School of Biblical Evangelism. And it just, I don't get a lot of positive feedback from that because of that type of style. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad that he's teaching evangelism. I think it's one of the things that has been very, very neglected in our culture. We are not equipping people to communicate either what we believe or why we believe what we believe, not even who we believe. So to the extent that someone is teaching evangelism, I think it is a very good thing. He uses a law-gospel approach, the law being the schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ, because a recognition of the true weight of the law is also a recognition that we cannot keep the law. And this is essentially what Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. He took the law of Moses and extended it to its logical conclusions. And of course, the impression of all the disciples hearing this was, well, if that's true, if the law is that weighty, who then can keep the law? And the answer is that with men it is impossible. With God, all things are possible because Jesus did what we could never do. He fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and thus when we come to Jesus Christ, we take on his righteousness as opposed to standing naked or exposed in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness. So I'm glad he's teaching evangelism. He has his own particular style of doing that. I wouldn't necessarily agree with all that he teaches, but I think I can say safely that I stand shoulder to shoulder with him when it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tom next in Dallas, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Great. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about heaven. I'm a believer and know in my heart I'm going to heaven when I die, and it's going to be a wonderful place. But I hear talked and I read about treasures stored up in heaven and rewards in heaven. And so I'm confused. Are there various degrees of satisfaction in heaven? In other words, will some people's homes be bigger than mine? Will they have greater satisfaction than I will have? Do you understand my question?
Well, I do understand your question, and I don't think it is as though someone's going to have a bigger home than yours, but it is true that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And that is not speaking of the reward of salvation, but rather it is speaking of the rewards of service. And what that has to do with is enhanced spiritual capacities and enlarged responsibilities. And I've often said that the capacity for enjoying music is greatly enhanced when you master a musical instrument. In the same way, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. We must not suppose that everyone will be in eternity as a clone of the other. We'll all be unique. We'll all have roles. We'll all have giftings. We will learn and grow and develop, albeit without error, as forever we explore the glory and the greatness of the one who saved us by his grace. So yes, you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Jesus said that very thing. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but rather store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, you cannot lay any foundation, as Paul says, other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, but on that foundation you can build. And if what you build survives, you'll receive reward. If it's burned up, Paul says, you'll suffer loss, you'll be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Very good. I appreciate your explanation, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike in Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I've got a question, and I flipped in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Jesus says that certain groups of people can bind certain entities that go to heaven and loose other entities. Could you define who this group is and who these entities are that can be bound or loosed?
Yeah, the whole idea of binding and loosing has to be explained, because binding has to do with those who are being removed from fellowship, and loosing are those who are being restored to fellowship. So the content of church discipline is what is at issue in the passage that you're talking about. And again, the words loosed means restored to fellowship and bound removed from fellowship. A lot of people think that this has something to do with demonic possession being bound and loosed, but that is not what is at issue in the passage. At issue is church discipline.
Okay. All right. Well, is it the church group that can do that then?
Well, we can never do anything unilaterally, but what we do on the basis of the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is He who gives us the ability to do that within the context of a structure, and that structure is the body of Christ.
Okay, all right. That answers my question, and thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron. He's listening in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just a quick question. The different accounts of Judas in Matthew and Acts, I pretty much feel comfortable with the way he died, the suicide, the falling, the bursting. And I feel very good about that. The contradiction that I can't grasp is the potter's field. And did he purchase it, or did the Pharisees actually purchase it with the money because it was blood money? It couldn't go back to the treasury. Could you clarify that for me?
Sure. Technically, the chief priest purchased the field on behalf of Judas, who took his blood money, and then he returned it to the chief priests and elders. And this is very common in terms of Scripture. The Bible often represents a man doing something when he is really the cause of the action. For example, in Matthew 27:60, Joseph of Arimathea is said to have hewn out his own tomb, when in point of fact, of course, this was done on his behalf. So that's the basic answer to the question. Judas acquired a field with the prize of his wickedness, and the Jews used his money to do this.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Hank. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. I saw a letter this morning that said that I do all I can, not only to listen to the broadcast, but to tell other people to call in their questions. I believe you are blessed by God. Mr. Hanegraaff, keep up the good work. Appreciate the encouragement. Also, want to mention our app. A lot of people downloading the app and sending in letters and commendations on the app. To get your app downloaded on your smartphone or your device, you simply have to go to equip.org/app. With your app, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can listen to archived editions as well as live editions. You can read hundreds of articles, and you can give. And speaking of giving, we need many people to send in a gift as the Lord leads you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Also, do remember, when you join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to send you one of my books, any one of them, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Be right back with more answers.
Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences,
filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are we in denial about death and dying? Over the last century, as life expectancy has dramatically increased and dying has moved from the home to the hospital, we've increasingly bought into a denial of death. Quite simply, we'd rather avoid discussions of death entirely, making the passing of loved ones or friends an eventuality many are unprepared to deal with. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to equip followers of Christ in the lost art of dying, reminding us that death is not the end when life eternal awaits. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Heathcliff next, listening in El Paso, Texas, KELP. Hi.
Yes, sir. Hank, thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I would just like for you to explain to me Matthew 11, 12 verse. I'll elaborate on that. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken by force."
Yeah, and it's also rendered in the NIV, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing." Let me start with that clause. The kingdom has been forcefully advancing. Why? Because the king has landed in disguise, and he's calling all of us to a great campaign of sabotage, as C.S. Lewis put it. So that's what the idea here is. The king has landed, and now what's happening is he's calling us to be co-consummators of the kingdom, but not with military might, but rather with might that is from above, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And that's what is in mind here when Jesus goes on to say that forceful men lay hold of it. And the forceful idea there is those who take on the power of the Spirit or the force of the one who has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in the consummation of the kingdom. Back to the phone lines. Crystal next, listening in North Carolina. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
When we pass away, I've always been taught in church that the moment that we die, we wake up in heaven, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, what does the Bible say about that? Like, if, you know, when it talks about when Jesus does come back, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, if I were to die now, being a believer, would I go directly into heaven right now, or would my soul sleep until Jesus does indeed come back?
Well, there's nothing in the scripture whatsoever to suggest that the soul ever sleeps. The body is asleep in death, but the soul has continued awareness in the presence of the Lord. If you're a believer, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're being comforted, as it were, in Abraham's bosom, which is a metaphor for saying that you're in the presence of God. In terms of what happens when Jesus appears a second time, then the soul returns to the body, and the body is resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's what we were taught. I just wanted to make sure that I understood it correctly, and I really appreciate you explaining it to me. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I actually have an entry in my book, Afterlife, on soul sleep. Back to the phone lines. Tim is listening in Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good evening, Hank, and thank you for taking my call.
It is my pleasure.
I travel a lot. I listen to your show on XM every evening at 6 when I'm on the road. And you quoted the scripture referring to no man knows the time, not even the sun. And believing in the Trinity, that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, help explain how that statement can be true, that even Jesus doesn't know the time of the second coming.
Sure. And the categories that are talked about here are given by Jesus. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels, nor the Son, but only the Father. So angels do not know. The Son, speaking from the perspective of his humanity, does not know, but only God knows. That's the point that Jesus Christ is making. Men don't know, angels don't know, only God knows. Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity. And so he could exercise his divine nature, but he chose to voluntarily veil it, and therefore, speaking again as the God-man, the Anthropos, the God-man, as he walked this earth, he's saying, men don't know, only God does.
Okay. Well, that explains it, puts a different perspective on it. He was speaking as the God-man at that time and not taking himself back to the power that he had the potential to take himself to.
Right, and that's what's typical. It's not always the case. I mean, Jesus obviously can speak not only from the perspective of his divinity, he can also speak from the perspective of his humanity or vice versa. But in this particular case, what you have is the normative circumstance where Jesus is speaking from the perspective of his humanity. Remember that Philippians tells us that our attitude ought to be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to the death, even the death on a cross. So he set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes.
Well, thank you again for taking my call. I think that you are indeed laying up great treasures for yourself in heaven, and you're spurring on guys like me to do our best to do the same thing, and appreciate your work.
Well, bless you, and I appreciate those wonderful words. That's an encouragement to me. Yolanda next in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Yolanda.
I was listening to the radio today, and it was talking about the doomsday clock. And I know oftentimes that some use that clock to determine the end of the world. And I was just wanting to know what your take is on that biblical.
Well, there's no way of knowing the end of the world. No one knows when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time. We only know that he will appear a second time. So we're not called to know the future. If we knew everything that was going to happen in the future, we wouldn't want to face the future. So God gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. So the idea that anyone knows when the clock is going to tick 12, as it were, is simply false. In fact, all prophecy pundits have one thing in common. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time. So rather than trying to predict when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time, simply be faithful and fruitful. And whether you die or whether he comes, you will be ready to face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account for what you did while you're in the flesh. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Janet next in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I got a big problem I don't know what to do with, and I need your help.
Sure.
My oldest son is openly gay, and now he has lots of friends. And I love them all, but I don't really know what to tell them. I can't even hardly tell him. I tell him a few things, just letting him know that God loves him and he doesn't want you to stay where you are. And I just need help how to talk to someone. I need to hear from.
Well, first of all, you don't need any help. You're giving us all good help, because what you're doing right now, what you said in the prologue of the question, exactly what you should do. You should show love. There's no reason to set up a we, they, siege mentality against someone who says that they're gay. Now, if you have the opportunity, as you do as a mom, to communicate with gentleness and with respect, I think it's worth saying that to say that you're gay is not an identity. it's a behavior. So if your son says he's gay, he's really not gay. He's a man, and he's indulging in homosexual behavior. And we should model exactly what you're modeling, and that is the behavior of our Lord towards all who are lost through speaking the truth in love, and recapture the zeal that Jesus had for the lost and sick in society, including those who are engaged in homosexual practices, but many other people have many other besetting sins. And then speaking the truth, acting out of love, not out of hate, communicating the good news about God's rule, and then throwing a party when they repent and return home, which is to the home of the Father, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because God puts parameters around your son's life, not because he's a cosmic killjoy, but he wants your son's joy to be complete. So don't ever deviate from the truth. We have to speak the truth in love, just as you are doing. And remember, we can't change anyone's heart. Only the Holy Spirit does that. But we can be those who are always ready to give an answer and do that with gentleness and with respect. Love to continue the conversation. We're out of here for today. Just flat out of time. Be back here tomorrow. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote, The Art of Dying, to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end, thus preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.